हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधि साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः लेट् अस् रीड् फ्रोम् दि मङ्गलाचरणम् अखण्डम् सच्चिदानन्दम् अवाङ्मनसगोचरम् अवाङ्मनसगोचरम् आत्मानम् अखिलाधारम् अखिलाधारम् आश्रये भीष्टसिद्धये आश्रये भीष्टसिद्धये अर्थतोऽप्यद्वयानन्दान् अतीतद्वैतभानतः गुरूनाराध्य वेदान्तसारम् गुरूनाराध्य वेदान्तसारम् वक्ष्येयथामति दिस् टु वर्सस् वरिन् Acharya Sadanandaji invokes the grace of Bhagavan and his teacher. So, and from here onwards, the teaching begins in prose form. Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam तद् उपकारीणि तदुपकारीणि शारीरक सूत्रादीनि च लास्ट् क्लास् ऐ स्टार्टेड् वित् दिस् सेण्टेन्स् The very beginning of the text, here Acharya explains what is Vedantaha. What does Vedanta mean? He says, Vedantaha nama, Vedanto nama, He says, Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam. It's a sentence. Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam. Vedanta means Upanishad Pramanam. I explained to you last class, the entire Vedaha, the entire Veda is a scripture which serves as a means of knowledge. But here, the Veda Antaha implies only the end portion of the Vedaha. Veda Antaha. The Veda Antaha, the end portion of the Veda, consists of many Upanishads, which is also said to be the Jnana Kandaha of the Veda. Last class I mentioned, Veda is broadly divided into three parts. The most voluminous part of the Veda is called Karma Kandaha, and a small part which comes in between is called Upasana Kandaha, and the third concluding, the end part of the Veda is called Veda Antaha, Jnana Kandaha. Veda Antaha is Jnana Kandaha. So here, the end portion of the Veda alone serves as means of knowledge of the reality. By studying the entire Veda, by gaining the studying the entire Veda, what one has to ultimately, finally accomplish can be accomplished merely by studying the end portion of the Vedaha. That is why in Bhagavad Gita there is a verse which says even Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Upanishads. By studying the Bhagavad Gita, one can gain the knowledge that can be gained by studying all the Upanishads. And here we can say, by studying just the Upanishads, the Vedanta, the benefit you can gain by studying the entire Veda becomes gained. And here Vedantaha is Upanishad Pramanam. Upanishad, as I told you, Upanishad has two meanings. One meaning, the literal meaning, the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the absolute reality. In Sanskritam, we say Brahma Vidya. Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the absolute reality. It is an implied meaning of the word Upanishad. I explained last class that which definitely removes ignorance and the ignorance caused effects in the samsara by revealing the reality of the universe as the nearest self is Upanishad. Therefore, what is revealed by this Upanishad? Knowledge of the reality. Therefore, we say Upanishad primarily means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality. And the secondary meaning of the word Upanishad is, because this text, Upanishad, is a text, isn't it? which serves as a means of knowledge of the reality. Therefore, it also means the textbook. And this Upanishad is Pramanam. That is where I stopped last class, I think. Pramanam is valid means of knowledge. I said, if you take this word Pramanam, you have the prefix pra, and there is a word manam. In that word manam, the dental nakara becomes cerebral nakara in the pramanam, isn't it? So manam means measuring, measurement. So pramanam means that by which given object, a given thing is accurately measured, arrived at, understood. That's why all our sense organs, sense powers, the sense organs are said to be the pramanams, pramanani. Each sense organ serves as a pramanam. Each sense organ serves as a pramanam, a means of knowledge. And here I told you last class, Shastram presents the sixfold means of knowledge. Pratyaksha Pramanam means perception is a means of knowledge. Then Anumanam, inference, also serves as means of knowledge. Upamanam, comparison, serves as a means of knowledge. Arthapattihi, presumption or assumption, is a means of knowledge. Anupalabdihi, absence, is a means of knowledge. Then shabdaha, word, serves as means of knowledge. Different types of means of knowledge we have. And here, these words of the Upanishad serve as means of knowledge of the truth. In fact, the truth of the entire cosmos is available for recognition only as the truth of an individual. Therefore, the truth of the universe has to be known as the truth of the individual means, has to be known as the truth of one's own self, as the very truth or the content of I, the first person singular pronoun, with which we all of us refer to ourselves. When we refer to ourselves, all of us use one pronoun, that is first person singular pronoun I. Therefore, as the meaning of the content of this first person singular pronoun I, the reality is available for recognition, which is the truth of reality of the entire cosmos. And here, the words of the Upanishad serve as means of knowledge of the self. For self-knowledge, Upanishadic words serve as means of knowledge. And here the question will come, why do we use Upanishad as a means of knowledge of the self? We already know this fact, knowledge of anything definitely requires a given appropriate valid means of knowledge. No knowledge of any object is possible without a given appropriate corresponding means of knowledge. And here, if the knowledge, the what is to be known, what is to be arrived at, happens to be available as one's own self, not as an object, you need a proper means of knowledge here. If what is to be known by you is an object other than you, outside of you, far from you, distant from you, then you can employ any of these means of knowledge. But here, what is to be known happens to be your own swarupam, which means you are the knower, and what is to be known by you also is your own swarupam. The subject itself happens to be the object of knowledge. No other pramanam can be used as a means of knowledge, which means perception, inference, comparison, presumption, no, anupalabdhihi, or even other, no, shastras. So nothing can be used as a means of knowledge, nor can you use your own sense organs as means of knowledge. Because what is to be known is not an object to be known. It is very subject, very truth of the knower. Therefore, you need a very unique means of knowledge which is external to you, which is the Upanishad. Last class I mentioned this. The words of Upanishad reflect your swarupam, your very nature. Just as the eyes see themselves through the reflection, appearing in the reflecting medium, the mirror. Similarly, you have to, here the mind also has to see its own swarupam here. You have to see your own swarupam. What? Being reflected in the words of Shastram. And for you to know whether this Upanishad serves as means of knowledge or not, the only way is you have to make use of it. So operation of the means of knowledge is in fact making use of the means of knowledge in the form of study of the Upanishad. The only way you can understand, you can know whether the means of knowledge works or not. Therefore, Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam. And here, not only the Upanishad, we had said Tad Upakarini means what? All other texts which also help you understand, or which are supportive of the Upanishadic teaching, which also present the Upanishadic teaching without any distortion. Supportive text means what? And he mentions here, Tad Upakarini means, the Upakarini means supportive texts. What are the supportive texts? Here he mentions, Shariraka Sutra Adini Cha. Shariraka Sutrani means Brahma Sutrani. Brahma Sutrani means what? We have the analytical study of Vedantic statements of facts. Vedantic statements, when they are unfolded and they are analyzed properly, each mantra, each statement of fact revealed in the Vedanta is taken and analyzed thoroughly. So that analytical study of the Vedantic mantras, Vedantic statements of facts, in the form of, is presented in the form of aphorisms, and we have more than 500 sutras, and all those sutras together constitute the text called Brahma Sutrani. And those Brahma Sutrani are said to be here as Shariraka Sutrani. Here, why they are called, known as Shariraka Sutrani, that is explained here. Shariram means body, physical body. Isn't it? And also Shariram, subtle body, gross body, isn't it? Body is Shariram. But Shariraha means what? That which obtains in the Shariram. So the reality obtaining in every form, every physical form, isn't it? As the Jiva is called Sharira. Okay? Shariram is body. Shariri is the one who indwells the body. Like Dehaha is body, Dehi is the one who indwells the body. Okay, so Shariri is called Sharira. But here, because this reality, otherwise known as Atma, obtaining in every body, being identified with the body, becomes, with a sense of limitation, the Atma, the reality, obtaining in every individual body, identified with the body, entertaining a sense of limitation is called what? Jivaha, isn't it? And that being endowed with a sense of limitation is called what? Shariraka. Therefore, sutrani means aphorisms or which reveal the swarupam, the nature of the reality Brahman as the truth of the individual self. So, in fact, Shariraka Sutrani means Brahma Sutrani. Another word for Brahma Sutrani, which is, a greatest work of Vyasacharya. You don't need to get confused by all these explanations. You can simply understand Shariraka Sutrani means Brahma Sutrani. Brahma Sutrani consists of sutras, means aphorisms, the small sentences consisting of very few, like a code language, but has highly pregnant with a lot of information. So these sutrani, study of the sutras, also is what? Vedantic study. Because analytical study of the Upanishads. And this Adi Shabda, if it is an Adi Shabda, that word Adi means etc., which means Upanishads, study of the Upanishads, study of the Brahma Sutras, study of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not a Shruti, but is a Smriti. Smriti means what? No, Bhagavad Gita, study of the Bhagavad Gita is also what? Said to be the study of the Vedanta Shastram. But study of the Bhagavad Gita is also said to be the study of the Vedanta Shastra means, does Bhagavad Gita belong to the Veda? No. Upanishads form part of the Veda. Therefore, no, they are Shruti. Veda is otherwise called Shruti. Shruti Grantaha, a text of the Veda. Whereas Bhagavad Gita is not the text of the Veda. But still, Bhagavad Gita study is said to be study of the Vedanta because the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita is nothing but subject matter of the Upanishads. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita also is considered to be what? Vedanta Shastram, Moksha Shastram. It is not Shruti, it is a Smriti, but still it is elevated to the status of the Shruti because the contents of Bhagavad Gita are what? The contents of the Upanishads. So we have covered the Prasthana Trayam. So Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam Tad Upakarini Shariraka Sutrani Sutradini Cha. Cha means and. So, Vedanta here is a means of knowledge of the truth, you know, consisting of threefold Vedanta scriptures, Upanishads, and Upanishad-based Brahma Sutras and Bhagavad Gita. And not only these three, we also have what? Prakarana Granthas. I explained to you last class, a Prakarana Granthaha is a small, a Vedantic, a manual or treatise, which presents the Vedantic teaching in a simplest, easily understandable form without any distortion, without distorting the original teaching. It presents the same teaching in a simplest, easily understandable manner. This is called Prakarana Grantha. Is it clear now? I have completed that sentence which I left last class half the way, isn't it? Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam Tadupakarini Shariraka Sutra Dinicha. Asya Vedanta Prakaranatvat Tadiyaihi Eva Anubandhaihi Tadvatta Siddhehe Nate Prithagalochaniyaha. Okay, by reading long Sanskrit sentences, don't get confused. Everything will be clear. Every word will explain. Hope you don't have any doubts regarding the previous sentence. Third sentence, isn't it? Is it clear? If you have any doubts in the sentence which explains what is Pramanam, you know, it doesn't say what is Pramanam, how Vedanta means a Pramanam that it says. If you have any doubts there, you can ask me later on or you can email me. Then this question can go onto the website, the answers will go onto the website. So it will be clear. Every sentence hereafter you can point, okay, am I clear? This particular sentence, have I understood everything I need to understand? the entire unfoldment of this particular sentence, the meaning of this sentence, explanation of this sentence, have you understood or not? Isn't it? It must be very clear. Now we are going to the next sentence. And here, onwards, in the fourth sentence, that Acharya introduces Anubandha Chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means a set of four. Anubandha means a set of four factors which are like an appendix, you know, which are part of the text. Any textbook, before you study any textbook, it is very important for one to understand the four factors, Anubandha Chatushtayam of any text. So what Anubandha Chatushtayam means? What? Any text must have the subject matter, isn't it? There can't be a textbook without a particular subject matter. Subject matter can be physics or chemistry or biology or science or arts or history. Something must be there, isn't it? A textbook must have its subject matter, Vishayaha. And that subject matter is called what? Vishayaha. Vishayaha means subject matter of the textbook. What is subject matter revealed in this particular textbook? That is Vishayaha. Then, which means this Adhikari. Adhikari means, literally it means the eligible student, the qualified student. Eligible student or qualified student or reader means the one who reads, studies this text must be the one who is inclined for the subject matter, who is interested in subject matter, and who knows the value of the study of the subject matter. Isn't it? And not only that, he must be the qualified for studying the subject matter also. So Adhikari, even though it means the eligible candidate, the qualified person who deserves the teaching, who deserves the subject matter of the textbook, who deserves the understanding of the subject matter of the textbook, is said to be Adhikari. So he is going to explain later on who is an Adhikari. He is going to explain later on. So we don't need to work hard. See how very it's taking now. In this one line, he only presents what are those fourfold factors, the integral part of any textbook. Adhikari, the eligible student, the qualified student, or the reader, the person who is blessed with all the qualifications required for reading, understanding, and obtaining the benefit of reading this, studying this book, is the Adhikari, number one factor. The reader, the one who studies this book with the qualifications, the capacity to understand and benefit by that text, is called Adhikari. The second factor is Vishayaha, subject matter of the book. And the third factor is Sambandaha. Sambandaha means connection. there are many connect. One should know the connection. For example, when you study this text, you know this text serves as a means of knowledge, which means it reveals something, isn't it? What is that which is to be known by studying the subject matter? The object of knowledge that is to be known through the study of the subject textbook. There's a benefit, isn't it? There's a benefit by studying this textbook. The benefit is called a prayojanam, isn't it? And the textbook is called what now? The means of knowledge. So between the text and the end, what is the connection? No, revealer, revealed connection. I can make it very simple. Then, sadhana, sadhya, sambandha. The text is a means and the knowledge is the end. Is it clear now? It is the means, the connection between the text and the knowledge is what? Means and the end. Sadhana, sadhya, sambandha. Sambandha means connection. Relationship. It is very important for the one who studies this text to know the connections. When you start, you know I am the one who wants to know. And then I am studying this textbook because it is a mean. I am the one who wants to know. This textbook is a means of knowledge of the reality. Reality is something to be known. By knowing the reality, I can attain moksha. Understand? Which means there's a connection between me and the textbook and the knowledge and the benefit of knowledge. Knowing all these connections. Is it clear? I am the one who study wants to know. And then I am the one who make use of it. Make use of this book. I make use of this book. I read this book. I study this book with the help of the teacher, textbook. And then I'm going to gain the knowledge of reality by using this text as a means of knowledge. And that knowledge of reality is what? Is the means it's going to help me accomplish the end called moksha. So I know the connections. Understand? What is the end? And how knowledge helps me to accomplish the end, and how this book serves as a means of knowledge, therefore how I am the one who has to know. Knowing is connections between all this, no? Connection. The pramata, pramanam, prameya, sambandha, jnanam. One who knows the connections between all of them. So having the knowledge of connections with all of them is called sambandha, which we will analyze in detail later on. At present, this much is enough. Okay? Why? Because later on he is going to elaborately discuss each topic. Who is an adhikari? First, in the fourth sentence, he presents the fourfold factors, anubandhaha, which are the integral part of the text, any text. And here, as a Vedantic text also, he presents those four factors. And he is going to later on elaborate on each factor. So you don't need to worry about, now, who is an adhikari? Adhikari means what? Etc. Don't need to worry. We're going to see everything elaborately. And subject matter means what? Connection means what? Relationship means what? Prayojanam. We're going to see that. Anyway, so what is the first factor? Anubandha chatushtayam consists of a set of four factors, of which I told you, adhikari, vishayaha, sambandaha, and prayojanam or phalam. The benefit. Isn't it? A benefit of gaining It's a benefit of studying this text and benefit of gaining the knowledge, benefit of the knowledge I gain through the study of this text, isn't it? That's also there. Therefore, prayojanam, the four factors. Is it clear? Called anubandha. Together we call them a set of four factors which are the integral part of any textbook. And here, before we studied this textbook, and this is a Vedantic Prakarana Grantha, and here also we need to know those Anubandha Chatushtayam. And here what the Acharya says here, this Prakarana Grantha happens to be the Vedantic Prakaranam. Whatever Anubandha Chatushtayam is involved, all those four factors of the Upanishad are the same fourfold factors for this also. This text also. Same, isn't it? Suppose, if you want to differentiate one given discipline from another given discipline, physics, chemistry, biology, arts, social sciences, they're all different textbooks, isn't it? Then Anubandha Chatushtayam differs from text to text. Is it clear now? Because subject matter of a textbook, the subject matter can be different, no? From the other, differ from the text to text. Similarly, Adhikari, the person who is inclined for that knowledge also will be different. And the benefit of gaining that hadi of the text also is different, isn't it? Similarly, the Anubandha Chatushtayam differs from text to text. It won't be the same. Is it clear? And here, the entire Veda Shastra, and suppose the Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same of many Upanishads. Suppose we have so many Upanishads, at least 10 Upanishads, we have 10 major Upanishads for which Shankar Bhagavatpada has written commentary, Bhashyam. So, all the Upanishads, the different texts, no? Upanishads, each Upanishad is different from the other Upanishad. But still, they all come under the category of one text. Even though 10 major Upanishads we call them, all of them come under the category of one text, called only one text. One Shastram. Why? Names are different. Taittiriya Upanishad, Aitareya Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad. The names are different. But are they different texts? Different books, no? But are they different Shastrams? No. The different books actually, but all of them come under the category of one Shastram, one subject matter. Why? Because the subject matter is one and the same. Adhikari for one Upanishad is the same Adhikari for other Upanishad. Anubandha Chatushtayam of every Upanishad being one and the same, they all come under the category of one Shastram. Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same for all the Upanishads. But you take the Karma Kanda and the Jnana Kanda. Veda Purva Bhaga, Veda Uttara Bhaga. The first part of the Veda, concluding part of the Veda. You take take the entire Veda, and we say Veda as a whole scripture, we say is a means of knowledge. But still, the Veda, even though it is one text, it consists of Veda consists of two scriptures, two shastrams, we say. You know, one book, but it has two sets of scriptures. Which means what? Two shastrams are there. Veda as a whole, as one shastram, we say Veda shastram, one book. It consists of two, different texts. Why do we say that? Because the Anubandha Chatushtayam differs. Anubandha Chatushtayam of the Veda Purva Bhaga is different from the Anubandha Chatushtayam of the Veda Uttara Bhaga or Veda Anta Bhaga. Understand? Here Adhikari is different. Adhikari of Vedanta Shastram is different from the Adhikari of the Karmakanda. Subject matter of the Karmakanda is different from subject matter of the Jnanakanda. That they, even the very names tell you. Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, subject matter is different. Adhikari is different. Therefore, Sambandha is different. Therefore, Prayojanam also is different. The benefit of Karmakanda is different from the benefit of Jnanakanda. Which means you can't hear. Why do we say two different Anubandha Chatushtayam? Anubandha Chatushtayam, if these factors, the four factors which form the integral part of the textbook, if it differs, then we have to see them as two different texts. If the Anubandha Chatushtayam is one and the same, even many books are there, they all have to be seen as one text. One subject matter, isn't it? Is it clear? Though here what he says, for this Vedanta Saraha also, the Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same like the Anubandha Chatushtayam of the Upanishad. Why? Because Vedanta Sara is what? Essence of the Vedantic teaching. Therefore, to study this text also, isn't it? Also same. It is not different. That's what he says in this line. Na te prithag alochaniyaha. You need not worry about the Anubandha Chatushtayam for this Vedanta Sara text, because if you know the Anubandha Chatushtayam of Vedanta Sara, you have understood the Anubandha Chatushtayam of the Vedantic teaching, isn't it? The entire Vedantic teaching. Okay. Now he's explaining the fifth sentence. Tatra Anubandho Nama Adhikari Vishaya Sambandha Prayojanani. He is saying, what are those four integral, what are those four factors which form the integral part of any textbook? No, the textbook here. He says, what does the word Anubandha mean? He says here, Adhikari. Adhikari means the eligible student. Vishayaha, subject matter of the textbook. Sambandaha, the relationship or connection. And Prayojanani. Prayojanam means benefit. You can repeat now. Adhikari, Vishayaha, Sambandaha, Prayojanam. The eligible student, subject matter, the relationship and the benefit. These are the four factors which constitute Anubandha Chatushtayam, okay, of any textbook. So he introduces.
So even if you have already known this, you have to bear with me. This is how, see, we have to go slowly like this. Is it clear? Now, the sixth sentence onwards, he's going to take off, which means what? The teaching begins only from now on. Like, we had a small text called Prakarana Grantha, called Tattva Bodha, wherein these qualifications are presented. And this book also presents the qualifications. Adhikari means what? The one who is eligible. The one who is eligible means the one who is endowed with the qualifications. So here the first is say, as soon as he begins the text, he says, you know, adhikari, who is an adhikari? Means the one who is endowed with qualifications. What are the qualifications he is endowed with, is going to say here. Which means we can now test whether we have these qualifications or not. Immediately reading this, don't come to the conclusions, I am not qualified. Because this book presents very frightening qualifications. But this is for, this is for the people of Vedic times. Okay. So how the qualifications presented here, how we should understand them as qualifications. That also I'll tell you later on. Okay. Immediately don't get put off. That's what I want to say. First thing he says, who is an adhikari? Adhikari tu vidhivat adhita vedaha. First thing, don't get put off, okay? Vidhivat adhita vedaha means the one who has studied the Veda, at least one Veda, or at least one branch of a given Veda, as per the scriptures instruction, vidhivate, one who has studied the Veda properly. How one should study the Veda? How one should study the Veda also is, is prescribed by the Veda. Therefore, vidhivata means as per the rule, as per the order, properly one who has studied the Veda. Immediately what will think? My God, we have not studied Veda. Don't think only you have not studied Veda. Even in India, I don't think most of the people have not studied the Veda. So people think we are all hitting in England, whereas we are from other part of the world, and all Indians must have studied the Veda. Don't think. Okay? We can hardly count nowadays who have studied the Veda. Therefore, don't lose your heart. First, what is understand? This is how you have to understand. By studying this textbook, you can understand the Vedic culture very well. It is very important for the people to understand the culture, the Vedic culture. Even if you cannot live that culture, even Indians do not know nowadays. But for you to have an idea, isn't it? Understand the Vedic culture, very important to study. So those days, what was the standard maintained for a spiritual aspirant? As a spiritual aspirant, he says, Pramata. The last word he says what now? Pramata. Pramata means knower, the subject of knowledge, which means first of all, one should have what? How can you become the knower? Knower means what? The one who wants to know. Isn't it? If you have no desire to know the truth, how can you be qualified for the knowledge of the truth? What is the basic qualification you require to know the truth? The desire, isn't it? The desire must be there, not simply desire. There must be burning urge for the knowledge of the truth. I want to know. I should know. That's called, no, the jignasa, the ardent love for knowledge must be there, first of all. Only that is the first qualification. Therefore, that word he has put last, pramata. And not only that, he says simply, a simple word he uses, sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. The adhikari is the one who has tivra icha, who has that, no, burning urge for the knowledge of the truth. That's one qualification. And he is the one who is endowed with the wealth of fourfold qualifications. Fourfold qualifications are the wealth. Understand? Sampannaha, who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications. What are those fourfold qualifications? Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. The first qualification. See, what is that? Now you can see, this is very important. This is what we need to know now. Discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent. Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha is the first qualification. What is eternal? What is ephemeral? That understanding one must have. This is called discriminative knowledge of what is real, what is not real, what is permanent, what is not permanent, what is eternal, what is ephemeral. This knowledge, how do you get it? How do you get it? When a person lives in this world for some years, and one would have, living in this world for some time, have spent many years in this world, having accomplished certain things, having done lot of actions, one would have understood this fact. Seeing situations in his life, having analyzed one's own life's experiences, one would have, one's own life's experiences would have taught this person a lesson. What is that lesson? Nothing in this world is permanent. What is permanent? Physical body is not permanent. Our thoughts are constantly changing. Our views are changing. Our plans are changing. We think one thing, something else happens. And then all the possessions we think, even there's no guarantee that will be our possessions forever. Which means, nothing is permanent here. even if they all will be there permanently, all your possessions are there sitting permanently for you, you will not be here, isn't it, to enjoy them permanently. Therefore, there is no such thing called permanence of anything here. Therefore, even the performance of actions or the results are not permanent. Because how can time-bound, impermanent things give impermanent happiness? It's simple using the logic, isn't it? If it is impermanent, how can the impermanent thing give me permanent happiness? Therefore, they cannot. Which means the permanent alone can give me permanent happiness. What I am seeking is permanent, everlasting peace and happiness, ultimately. Therefore, impermanent things cannot give me everlasting, permanent happiness. There is permanent thing, which is the reality. The permanent reality alone can bless me with permanent happiness. Impermanent things cannot give me permanent happiness. This understanding is called what? Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. Discriminative knowledge, understanding of what is eternal and what is ephemeral. This is very important. See, unless a person is intellectually adequately sharp, one cannot see this fact. Even if I tell now, it may sound like a funny thing for you, unless you are really mature. It takes certain maturity to understand this fact. It is a fact. This is the first qualification. Okay? Once you have this, then naturally you will, this viveka comes. This is called vivekaha. This vivekaha, this discriminative discernment, discriminative knowledge you have, then you will naturally grow out of passion and desire for everything and anything which is time-bound. This is called what? Growing out of desire for anything and everything, knowing the limitation of that, that it cannot give me what I am seeking in life. You will be disinterested in anything which cannot give you what you want. If you are very clear about what you want, what you are seeking, you will become naturally disinterested in things which cannot give you what you want. That is why it is very important for one to know what I am seeking. And what I am seeking, I will be interested in things which can give me what I am seeking. I will naturally, nobody needs to tell me not to be interested in things which cannot give me what I am seeking. Others need not tell you. Come on. This, no, what you are seeking is this. This won't be available here. Others need not tell you. If you are clear about what you are seeking, and if you know that, you know, that others cannot give you what you are seeking, and you will be disinterested in that. When you want to buy some medicine for some problem, some stomach ache or cough syrup you want to buy, and you're walking on the roadside, and you see all these different shops and malls, you know, and you don't care for those shops, you walk straight to chemist. Why? Others not come and tell you, come on, you are seeking for medicine, it is not available here, please don't come here. Others need not tell you. You know, isn't it? It's called what? Growing out of desire for things. Not because others tell you, push you. Because you yourself have understood. That is why it's understanding born this passion. You have understood the limitations of everything. Everything is impermanent. Therefore, they cannot give me what I am seeking is, what I am seeking is permanent. Everything else is impermanent. Therefore, they cannot give me what I am seeking. And once you know this fact, this understanding, what now, makes you dispassionate person. Okay? Therefore, dispassion is the most sought of, important qualification for the knowledge. Suppose if you do not understand the Viveka aspect, then somebody simply comes and tells you. What happens, the problem? Dispassion is the qualification for knowledge. What will you think immediately? Oh, dispassion means not having passion for anything else. Not having desire for anything else. Therefore, you should give up all your desires. This is how we decide, this is how we get into wrong teaching. Understand now? Misunderstanding of the teaching. So, dispassion is a beautiful thing. It's expression of the manifestation of maturity. Expression of maturity. Dispassion is not frustration. Are not alienation, not running away from things, not keeping one from everything else. Dispassion is the most important qualification, the most beautiful qualification, because which one will have naturally without, that's why dispassion cannot be imposed on you. You cannot go and buy dispassion somewhere. Meditation cannot give you dispassion. Japan cannot give you dispassion. Your prayer and worship cannot give you dispassion. Understand? All those things can help you. What now? They cannot give you dispassion. Dispassion is something which you can have only by understanding the limitations of everything in the world. Because you naturally grow out of desire for everything. When? Only when you understand the limitations. Understanding the limitations of everything means what? Understanding the fact. It is not something, you are not mesmerized or hypnotized here. Understanding the fact that what I am seeking cannot be given by anything here. What I am seeking is permanent, everlasting, nitya nirantara sukham, permanent peace and happiness. And everything else here is what? Impermanent, time bound. Therefore, they cannot give me what I am seeking. It is this understanding, this is called understanding the limitations of everything else. Which means that they cannot give what I am seeking. When I understand this fact that they cannot give what I am seeking, when I understand the fact that the limitations of them, then naturally, without being told by others, I grow out of desire for all of them. This naturally growing out of desire for everything else in the world, knowing the limitations that they cannot give me what I am seeking, is maturity, which is called dispassion. Okay? When you grow out of desire for all of them, when you become dispassionate towards everything else, you must have passion for something or the other. you can't be totally dispassionate. Understand? You can't be absolutely dispassionate. There'll be passion still, isn't it? But the dispassion towards everything else in the world will be possible. We understand this fact, then, which implies your passion is only for knowledge. Okay, knowledge triggers your passion. Your passion is for knowledge. Passion for knowledge will be fashion. For the mature person. Understand? Passion for rest of the things will be fashion for immature. So dispassionate minded has the all passion for knowledge of the truth. Why? You know the value of the knowledge of the truth. See, you know the value of the knowledge. How? Knowledge alone can give me what I am seeking in life. This is what knowing the value of knowledge will make you have passion for knowledge. You'll be passionate about knowledge because you know the value of knowledge. Because that alone can give you what you are seeking. But the dispassion is for things which cannot give you what you are seeking. Passion is for knowledge because knowledge can give you what you are seeking. Passion is for that which can give me what I am seeking. Dispassion is towards everything which cannot give me what I am seeking. Okay? This is called what now? Dispassion. Understand? This is the qualification number 2. But this is the most important qualification, which is not possible if you do not have the viveka, the discriminative knowledge of what is real and what is not real, and what is permanent, what is impermanent. Permanent alone can give me permanent happiness. Never can the impermanent give me permanent happiness. That viveka will result in what? No? Vairagyam. It's called dispassion. Discrimination will bless you with discriminative knowledge is there, you will have dispassion effortlessly. Once dispassion comes, then what will you do? Your dispassion towards everything else implies your passion for knowledge. Always people think of only dispassion. Passion for knowledge, dispassion implies what? No, passion for knowledge. Passion for knowledge means what? Total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, isn't it? Then you ask, for this knowledge, what is the qualification required? After discriminative knowledge, after having discriminative knowledge, after becoming dispassionate, now you ask, your dispassion, the degree of dispassion you have is such that, come on, what is it I want for the knowledge to, for me to have the knowledge here? But you see, your mind is not at ready. Dispassion is there, discriminatory knowledge is there, the mind is not at ready. Which means, the knowledge which you're seeking, for the end you're seeking, that knowledge has to rise in your mind, isn't it? But that mind is not at ready, prepared for the knowledge to rise. The mind has to be what? No. Adequately pure and steady. The mind is full of all sorts of emotional problems. And it's highly agitated, restless, unsteady. You cannot sit in even one class for more than 45 minutes. So, not 45 minutes. So restless. Come and sit. The mind, we are sitting in one place, mind goes, the whole jagat, oh, all over the mind goes. So unsteady. No, so impure. So much disturbed by our own likes and dislikes. And this likes and dislikes caused jealousy, hatred, anger, no, fear, anxiety. What others talk of me? How others should talk about me? So many, the mind is heavy, burdened, loaded, isn't it? It is not calm, serene mind. It is not steady mind. Agitated, restless mind is not adequately pure. Therefore, now the question comes, I had to be mentally pure and steady. Only then knowledge is possible. Okay, it is, so Viveka, the discriminative knowledge, helps you have dispassion towards everything else. Helps discover dispassion, which means you have discovered passion for knowledge. And the passion for knowledge, what now, makes you, you know, committed to live a disciplined life. See, we will never, we may know the disciplines. We may not know the disciplines. But for us to follow disciplines, to become disciplined, it takes greater effort. You will make all possible efforts to become disciplined. When you know the importance and the necessity of following disciplines. Why should I be disciplined? So what if I'm not disciplined? It is very important for one to know the importance of disciplines, the value of disciplines, necessity of following disciplines. Knowing the necessity, the importance, the value of following disciplines. If you follow disciplines, then following disciplines will be a joy. It will not be burden. Understand? Without knowing the value and importance and necessity of following disciplines, if you are forced to follow disciplines, you feel burdened. And you become rebel. You also rebel against. Become very rebellious. Understand? Always when parents, elders tell children, certain things to do, certain things, to make them disciplined, children hate it. Why? Because they don't know the value. Parents, why do they insist? Because they know the importance. And here, not elders are not here. You are not, as a spiritual aspirant, others need not tell you to follow disciplines. You become disciplined yourself, which means you follow disciplines strictly, seriously, vigorously. You put all efforts to follow disciplines. Why? Because you know the value, the importance, the necessity of following disciplines. Why? Because only by following disciplines, only by living a disciplined life, I can become mentally prepared for the knowledge which I have passion for. Knowing its value, knowing the value of that knowledge. Understand? So that's why for the dispassionate person, it is easy. No, for the dispassionate person who has passion for knowledge, it becomes easy to make efforts to live a disciplined life. For a non-dispassionate person who does not know the value of knowledge, who is not committed to the pursuit of knowledge, living a life of discipline is such a boring thing, such an undesirable thing. It's very difficult. That is why for a mature individual, following a life of disciplines will be a joy. Even if it is difficult, but still it is not something unenjoyable. Because he knows the greater value of what he is going to enjoy, benefit by following disciplines. Listen. Therefore, the next topic, next qualification is what now? Being endowed with disciplines. So disciplines become the, okay, being disciplined is the third qualification, which is possible only if we have dispassion towards everything else and passion for knowledge. And that is possible only if you have Viveka. See the connections? This is called understanding the connections. Without Vairagyam, without the Viveka, discriminative knowledge of what is real and what is not real, what is permanent and what is impermanent, it is not possible for you to have passion for knowledge and to without having passion for knowledge, you cannot have dispassion for everything else. Understand? It is the passion for knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge, helps you discover dispassion towards everything else effortlessly. And one that passion for knowledge will help you, what will bless you with all strength, you know, to be able to live a life of disciplines. Okay, and the fourth qualification you need is what? Burning urge for freedom from bondage, freedom from limitations, freedom from fear of death. That urge for freedom from fear of death, which means freedom from sense of limitations, freedom from all limitations, you know, that freedom from being a want, sense of freedom from being a wanting person, that freedom from bondage, freedom from sorrow, that burning urge for freedom must be there. That is the qualification. Understand? But disciplines, I said, Shastram talks about sixfold. The sixfold disciplines Shastram prescribes. What are they? Shamaha. Shamaha means mastery over one's mind, one's ways of thinking, thoughts. Mastery over one's ways of thinking. Shamaha. Then Damaha. Mastery over senses. So mental discipline, then sensory discipline. Shamaha, mental discipline. Shama, Damaha, sensory discipline. mastery over senses, sense organs, organs of actions. Shamaha, damaha. Uparamaha. Uparamaha means withdrawal from the unnecessary, unwanted, useless activities. Which means commitment to understanding what one's duties are, and thereby commitment to one's own duties will help one withdraw from all unwanted, unnecessary, useless activities. Is it clear now? Is what Uparamaha. So, very good. Then, Titiksha. Titiksha means forbearance, endurance. So, learning to endure all the situations. Endurance means what? Learning to remain balanced without elation or dejection, maintaining equanimity in all desirable, undesirable situations. This is called titiksha. Shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha. Then shraddha. Shraddha means unflinching faith. Faith in what? Faith in the words of the teaching, the scripture and the teacher. It's very important. If there's no faith, nothing will work. Any patient going to the doctor should have faith in the words of the doctor. Only then medicine will work. The treatment itself is possible. The patient sitting next to the doctor, doctor, will this medicine work? Will this medicine work? Will this medicine work? If he keeps on asking, doctor will say yes, 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 yes. But he cannot really see whether the medicine works or not, isn't it? He should trust the doctor, take the medicine, and later on he can say whether it worked or not. Therefore, trust is important first. Therefore, here faith, not simple faith. Yeah, everybody is telling, others are all going, let me also go and see this class. Shati is going, Sue is going, let me also go and see this class. No, I should know. Isn't it? Unflinching faith in the words of the teaching, words of the Shastram, the teacher. That is Shraddha. Then Samadhanam is the last, sixth. Samadhanam means being focused, having focused, being focused is Samadhanam. Being focused-minded is Samadhanam. Having the focused attention is Samadhanam. What does it mean? Having focused attention means what? All the time, underneath, remembering one's purpose of living this human life. Never forgetting the ultimate goal of life. Always being focused means always remembering, never forgetting one's goal being the accomplishment of knowledge, thereby one's commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. See, you may go here and there, like when you go for holidays, go for holidays, you can enjoy your things, everything, but you're always, you're focused about what? Coming back and your job, your office, your income, the problems. Do you forget? Very focused. That is why you come back. You can go for it, go anywhere, but you're very focused about your regular income and livelihood. Why? So important. Similarly, whatever we do in this life, we have to work, we have to live this life, we have to earn money, we have to earn our livelihood, we have to have socialize, we have to have so many things we need to have. But doesn't matter, we are living this life. To live the life, we do so many things. But we are living this life for discovering the truth, for our freedom. And this fact we should always be remembering. Never should we forget. And all our lifestyle, all that we do must be based on this fact. That's called what now? Having focused attention or being focused in life. Understand, ultimately, what is being focused? We say be focused. Always we get lost sometimes, somewhere. So we should not get lost anywhere. We have to be very focused. Being focused here in the spiritual context means reminding oneself of the fact, the purpose of living one's life, reminding oneself of the commitment, one's commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. No, this is called being focused. For having focused attention, being focused-minded is the sixth discipline. Understand? The fifth discipline is unflinching faith in the words of the scripture, the words of the scripture and the teacher. And always learning to endure all the situations with equanimity. It's also discipline. How? Discipline. And next we say, how to withdraw myself from all unwanted, unnecessary, useless activities which do not serve any purpose. How? By knowing your duties, by knowing your priorities. If you plan out your work, then you can work out your plan. You will not have time for unwanted things. It's called Uparamaha. Then Dhamaha means mastery over senses, sensory discipline, and Shamaha is mastery over ways of thinking. Okay? The sixfold disciplines form the third qualification. And fourth qualification is what? The burning urge for moksha. Yeah, the fourfold qualifications. If a person is endowed with these fourfold qualifications, then he is an eligible student of Vedanta Shastra. Oh my God, I don't have any of these qualifications. So let me not come and see Swamiji anymore. That should not be the decision. And so here, the fourfold qualifications alone are mentioned. How to attain, how to accomplish these qualifications? For knowledge, I must be qualified. Understand. So what should I know? What should I do to become qualified for knowledge? How can I become isn't it? How can I become qualified? How to have these qualifications? That is not said here. To accomplish these fourfold qualifications, you need not do anything. Understand what is Karma Yoga and live a life of Karma Yoga. Living a life of Karma Yoga will bless you with all these fourfold qualifications. It will bless you with Vairagyam. It will bless you with Viveka, discriminative understanding. It will bless you with Vairagyam. It will bless you with all these sixfold disciplines. It will bless you with, you know, the urge for moksha. So living a life of Karma Yoga will help you acquire these qualifications required for Jnanam. So what is Karma Yoga? How to live a life of Karma Yoga? How to acquire these qualifications? That is not discussed in Vedanta Sara. Okay? So how to become qualified for to know that, you need to study Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita teaches the way of life called Karma Yoga, living a life of Karma Yoga, which is the sadhanam, a means for preparing your mind for knowledge, for becoming qualified for knowledge, to accomplish these fourfold qualifications. Understand? Don't need to worry about number one, qualification number one, qualification number two, or sixfold disciplines, my God, fourfold qualifications, sixfold disciplines, all. Just to live a life of Karma Yoga. Doesn't matter whether you have anything else or not. Understand a life of Karma Yoga. Live a life of Karma Yoga. You will be the most eligible person for knowledge. Who is an adhikari? Is the question. Who is the eligible for knowledge? Isn't it? And there we are analyzing the first factor. I have not yet gone to the verse. I have taken last sentence from that paragraph. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. Sadhanam means the qualifications. Chatushtaya means a set of four. Sadhana chatushtaya means a set of four qualifications. So sampannaha is the one who has the wealth of fourfold qualifications, or one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications, is the adhikari, he says. I have explained to you what those fourfold qualifications are and how to acquire those fourfold qualifications is not said here. I am saying, we can understand that Bhagavad Gita presence teaches the way of life. Like Karma Yoga is easiest and the only way for you to acquire all these fourfold qualifications to become qualified for knowledge. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.